Thank you, Brother Frank. Frank is an excellent song leader, and it's a joy to be working with him again. I want to say to the elders and to the ministers and to anyone who had a part in me being extended an invitation to be back with you, thank you. Thank you. I'm honored to be here. It was 4 or 5 years ago that I was here, and some of you can remember that, and you showed up anyway. I appreciate that. Most people remember me as the long-winded preacher, the guy that didn't know when to sit down. Well, I came here about a year and something ago and found my wife, Diane. And Diane has been taught right, and she has set me right. I am no longer a long-winded preacher. Diane has told me to shut up. And I am an obedient husband. And so I've learned to not be so long-winded. And hopefully, nonetheless, the lessons will be beneficial to you. We're going to be talking in these series of lessons on the family. And this morning in the Bible hour, we're going to be talking about something that I believe, and from my perspective, is important. And that is how to manage a life storm. If you haven't had a storm in your life, if you haven't had an event in your life that has shaken your faith, has turned you upside down, you just keep living. It's coming. It's coming. I know of individuals who've had life-shaking experiences and have left the church. And I hope that when you have your life-shaking experience, that it doesn't cause you to leave the church, but that you'll take that experience and become stronger. I want to testify this morning, and I hope you don't mind me using that word, testify. I'm a stronger man because of what I've been through. I'm a stronger person, and I'm a better person because of things that I've experienced. 4 years ago when I was here, Rhonda was with me. She's not with me this time. And that was my earth-shaking experience that I experienced. If you have your copy of God's Word, turn to Revelation to chapters 12. I want to begin our lesson at verse 7. John tells us something that occurred years ago, that there was a war that occurred in heaven between Michael and God's angels and Satan and one-third of the angels that he led astray. And they engaged in a war, and Satan lost. And he lost, and he was removed from heaven, he and those angels that followed him, and they were cast down to the earth. Look at verse 12. Now John says to us, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for Satan has come down to us, having a short time, knowing he doesn't know when the world is going to come to an end. But he's angry. He's furious that God has removed him from heaven. And he's come down, and now he's angry at God. And he wants to get back at God. Verse 13, the man-child. He tried to prevent the birth of Jesus, but he wasn't able to do that. He couldn't stop the birth of Jesus. He couldn't stop the establishment of the church. And now he's busy after the woman. And the woman is the church. And what Satan wants to do is to destroy the church. And he knows that he can't get some of you or most of you to engage in immoral activities. He knows that he can't get you to engage in accepting of false doctrines. But if he can mess up your relationships, if he can mess up your life, if he can shake your faith, he's going to start causing you to doubt God's existence. He's going to cause you to start doubting the things that you believe and have known to be true. And that's when you're going to start easing out of your faith, and you'll find yourself one day waking up with no desire to serve God. That's what Satan wants to do. Satan wants to take away your passion and want to make it to heaven. Satan wants to take away your peace that you enjoy in Christ Jesus, because if he can take away that peace that you have, then you're not going to enjoy life. And so this morning, I want to share with you some biblical insights on what we can do to empower ourselves to face a storm when it occurs in our lives. And you're going to have a storm. Maybe you've had one or two already. Maybe you haven't had yours, but it's coming. I didn't expect mine. It came from nowhere. We were not even expecting in a little bit the storm that I encountered. Your storm is coming. And I want to ask you, are you ready? But I want to tell you this on the outset. When you have your storm, and you're going through something that has occurred in your life that you don't understand why. Why is this happening to me? Why is this going on in my life? It's okay. It's okay. Turn to the book of Habakkuk. That little book of Habakkuk. It's a powerful book. Three little chapters. But Habakkuk experiences something in his life, and he's saying, God, I don't understand. It's okay to say you don't understand why this is going on. Habakkuk says in Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, God, how can you allow injustice to exist among your people? God, why won't you discipline your people? Why do you allow this injustice to occur? God tells Habakkuk, I'll take care of this. I don't need, paraphrasing it. Habakkuk, I got this. I don't need your advice. I don't need your advice. But then he comes back in verse 12 and 13 when God tells him, Habakkuk, I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to raise up the Babylonians. I'm going to use them to discipline my people. Habakkuk comes back the second time. Oh, God. God, you're a good God. You're a just God. God, how can you use these people? They're worse than your people. How can you use these people to discipline your people? Things will occur in life that we don't understand why. But we need to keep on serving God. Your storm is coming. If you remember nothing else, I'm going to say this morning in the Bible hour, I want you to remember this. Storms can make you or they can break you. But there are things we can do that will empower us that when our storm occurs or when our children go through a storm or when our grandchildren go through a storm, that we can be there to help them. And that's what I want to give you this morning, some insights to help you if you're going through one and to help you to prepare for one. Satan wants to turn your world upside down. Go to Psalms chapter 11. In Psalms chapter 11, David says something in verse 1, but then something is said in verse 3 that I want you to look at. In Psalms 11 and verse number 1, David says, I'm going to trust in the Lord. And that's what I encourage you to do, to trust in the Lord. But then his friend, paraphrasing, comes and says, you know, when the righteous, what good is it trusting in God? You know, just run to the hills. That's nothing that God can do. But he says in verse 3, when the righteous world is turned upside down, what can the righteous do? And that's what we're concerned with. When we encounter something that shakes our faith, what can we do? Is there anything that we can do? Yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. Thanks be to God that there are things we can do. When righteous people, when people will put their faith and their trust in God, there are things that we can do that will sustain us, that will help us to keep on keeping on serving God. And I want to share with you, with the time that has been allotted in the Bible class, several insights to help you to make it through your storm. Satan is coming after you. You remember a man named Job? Satan tried to shake Job's faith. He took away his wealth. He took away his children. He took away even Job's health. And finally, he even took away the support of his wife. And she looked at Job and she said, paraphrasing in Job 2 verse 9, honey, you ought to just curse God and die. And Job came back with these wonderful words and paraphrasing it. We're going to have good and evil things to occur in our life. But I'm not going to abandon my faith and trust in God. In the latter part of verse 10, it says, and Job sinned not. Job was ready to have his faith turned upside down. Are you ready? Job was ready. And even though all these things occurred in Job's life, he remained faithful to God. Things will occur in our lives. Maybe there's someone here this morning who's having health problems. Maybe you're having a spouse. Maybe you've gone through something already. And why? Satan is going to try to shake your faith. And God will allow. God doesn't cause these things in our lives. But God will allow these things to come into our lives. And he has given us the assurance. And I want to share some things with you that God has said that he would do when we're going through a storm. Go to Luke chapter 22 and verse 31. Peter and Jesus have a conversation. And Jesus says to Peter, Simon, Satan wants to turn your world upside down. Satan wants to turn your world upside down. And I want you to know, Peter, I pray for you. Peter, you're going to fall. But I pray for you. And when you are restored, strengthen the brethren. Satan wants your children. And he wants your grandchildren. And the way that he can get them out of the church is to allow them to experience things that they don't understand why. Allow them to see things that they don't understand why. And they start questioning those things. And we need to be there to help them when they're wrestling with things. When they're wrestling with things in their faith, when they're wrestling with things in their lives and in the world and in the church, we need to be there to help them so when they go through these things, they don't abandon God. Satan went after Peter. The Lord told him he's coming after you. Peter responds, Lord, I'll never deny you. Lord, I'll never. Bartholomew may do it. James may do it. John, but not, I'll never leave you. Now, Matthew 26 and verse 69. You know the story well. He's warming himself. Not once, not twice, but three times. I don't know him. I don't know him. I don't know the man. But I want you to look at verse 75. Look at verse 75, when Jesus came out of that hall and Peter denied him, and Jesus knew this. He looked at Peter. The Bible doesn't tell us anything more than the look. But when Jesus looked at Peter and they made eye contact, for me, when I read verse 75, this is what I see. This is what I see. When Jesus looks at Peter, who had denied him three times, he says with his eyes, Peter, I love you. It's okay, Peter. I prayed for you, Peter. I prayed for you. And I stopped by to tell you, the Lord is praying for each one of you. Because there's someone sitting or standing here this year, and there's 3 months nearly left in this year. Someone is going to experience a storm. The Lord is praying for you. He's pulling for you. That you don't allow it to pull you out of the church. That you don't allow it to take away your zeal and your passion to want to make it to heaven. A storm is brewing. Are you ready? Then, Brother Jones, what can the righteous do? What can we do to prepare ourselves for a storm? What can we do to empower ourselves that when we are in a storm, that we can remain faithful to God? Let me share a few with you. Here's number one. Here's the first thing. Go to Mark 9 and verse 23. You got to believe that you're going to make it through what you're going through. When you're going through a storm, when you're going through an event in your life and you don't understand, you need to believe you're going to make it through what you're going through. It was April the 25th, 2014. 1 month before that date, Ron and I were driving to Washington, D.C. to do a gospel meeting. And as we were driving, we decided to drive rather than fly. And we started talking. Things were as best in my life at that moment it had ever been. We looked at one another and told how much we loved one another and appreciated one another. And Diane doesn't mind me sharing this story. And we talked about one another, and we talked about our aspiration. I want to be a full-time preacher. I said, honey, there are some churches small that can't afford a minister. I said, let's make a commitment to work with them for 3 years and move on. And when I get back, I want to retire from Freed Hardeman in 2014. I'm going to tell them, this is March, that I'm not going to be back in the fall. I'm retiring. I'm leaving the university. And Rhonda said, Samuel, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's start this ministry. And on the way back home from that meeting, she started hurting. On March the 28th, she got a report from a mammogram that she had taken right before we left, and it was crystal clear. But on the way back, she started having severe pain. She started screaming out. The pain was so intense, and we thought it was her lupus flaring up. It wasn't a lupus. And she started running a series of tests. And it said she had breast cancer. I thought it was breast cancer. And so we're going in on April the 25th to get the report. They thought it was pancreatic cancer. They thought it was several things. And so we was going to get the report 8:30 Friday morning on March the 25th. And we thought of all the possibility, it was going to be breast cancer. Great, because we just got a clearance that the mammogram was clear, nothing. And so we thought we'd go in, the doctor's going to say a couple of chemo treatments and everything's going to be all right. We walk in, the doctor says this, do you want the truth? Not high, not by, do you want the truth? Yes, we want the truth. In our mind, we got things we want to do. We have a board meeting that morning. I was not there, and I was going to go back and tell the department chair of my part of the board that I'm going to turn in my resignation for retirement. I didn't make it back because he said, Mr. Jones, I want to show you something. I want to show you a PET scan. Never seen a PET scan in my life. But when I saw Rhonda's, there was not a part of her body internally that was not covered with cancer. Not one organ. And so the question is, what? Miss Jones, you have less than 3 months to live. What? You have less than 3 months to live. Couldn't say a word. Couldn't say a word. Thinking, how can this be? Why not me? And Rhonda looked at me and she said these words, Sammy, if our faith can't sustain us in a time like this, we have been living a lie. On the night she took a last breath, we were sitting there holding our hands and singing, and she went to sleep. And my middle son, Jared, looked at me and he said, Daddy, I've got a question for you. Dad, you're a good man. And you pray for many people, and they've gotten better. And you taught us to pray. And you taught us to pray, and we believe in the power of prayer. Why didn't God answer your prayer, Dad? Why didn't God answer our prayers? We prayed. Why didn't God answer your prayer? You're a good man. Why didn't God answer? What do you say? And this is what I said after about 2 minutes of silence. Maybe God didn't answer my prayer, but he answered Rhonda's prayer. And her prayer was that the cancer would not make it to her brain. And it didn't. On that day, we had 30 people in the home, and she said goodbye to each one of them. And then after they left, 2.5 hours later, she went to sleep. Peaceful death. That's what she wanted. How do you make it through something like that? How do you keep on? How do you keep on keeping on? Number one, you got to believe you're going to make it through. You see, that's what that Jesus told that father who had a son who did horrible things to him. He didn't understand, why is my son doing this? Jesus, help me. Jesus says to him, if thou believe it, all things are what? All things are possible. But the dad comes back and says, yes, but help my unbelief. You see, even in the midst of believing, you're still going to have a degree of doubts till you get to where you need to be. But you need to believe that you're going to make it through what you're going through. And that's what kept me going, is the belief that God's going to be with me. I'm going to make it through this. Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For those that come to God must what? Believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. When you're going through a storm, you got to hold on to God. You got to trust in God. You got to believe that God had not caused this to occur in your life, but God has promised you he's going to be with you, and he's going to help you as you make it through what you're going through. When you're going through a storm, you got to hold on. When you're going through a storm, it's not a time to abandon the ship. It's a time to hang on in there. We serve a God who will bring us through what we're going through. Number two, the second thing I suggest to you is that you've got to believe and know that we serve a God who is able. We serve a God who is able. There's not a storm you can face that our God is not able to bring you through it. Go to Genesis chapter 17. God tells Abram something about himself. He tells him, I'm God Almighty. What in the world are you saying? I'm God Almighty, Abram. I'm El Shaddai. I'm El Shaddai. What in the world does that mean? In the Hebrew, that means this. Genesis chapter 18, go to verse 14. Genesis 18, verse 14, it tells us the meaning. When God tells Abraham, that Sarah is going to have a child. Sarah what? Laughs. And God says to Sarah and Abraham, is there anything too hard for El Shaddai? Is there anything that God can, that El Shaddai means there's absolutely nothing that God cannot do. God can bring you through whatever storm you can experience. I know he can. I'm a standing testimony. I didn't think I could ever have joy again. I didn't think I could ever have peace in my life again. Until two years ago, I came to North Jackson for a gospel meeting. And Josh Cook pointed Diane out to me. And we got to know one another. You see, I had life was going okay. But there was a void in my life. But God is able. God sent Diane. Y'all did a great job in molding her and shaping her. And she's helped me, and she's brought back joy in my life. I believe in the providence of God, that God opened up a door. For those 2 years Rhonda was gone, I had been many invitations to go out. Many dates, I had even a couple proposals. One lady proposed, begged me to marry her. Found out later she was worth $10 million. Which almost said, man, money's something. But let's move on. But for some reason, God had a plan. Our God has a plan. We serve a God who is able. Go to Genesis chapter 22. Look at verse 14. God is not only El Shaddai, he's Jehovah Jireh. That's what the King James says. I like the King James. It means God will provide. When we're going through a storm, God will provide because he's Jehovah Jireh. He knows what our needs are. And he'll be there, but we've got to do one. We've got to believe in him that we're going to make it through. Then number two, we've got to know that we serve a God who is able. There's absolutely nothing our God cannot do. And so when you're going through a storm, hold on to God. But not only is God a God who is able, the third thing, we serve a God who is faithful. Did you hear what I just said? We serve a God who is faithful. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. This verse helped me perhaps more than any verse in the midst of my storm. That we serve a God who is faithful, who will not allow you, Sammy, to experience. You see, I didn't think that I could live without Rhonda. 38 years. She had been my wife. For 3 years, she had been my sweetheart. For 41 years, she had been in my life. And I didn't think I could live without her. I didn't think that I could exist. But we serve a God who is able. And we serve a God who is faithful and will not. And even though I didn't think I was going to be strong enough to continue to preach without her, God didn't allow Satan to put on me more than I could handle. Did you hear what I just said? God knows how much you can handle. You see, I didn't know I was as strong as I was, but God believed in me, and he's helped me through that. And as someone is going through something now, God believes in you that you can make it through the storm. You can make it through what you're going through, but hang on in there. God is faithful. Hebrews chapter 13, look at verse 5. He makes us a promise. I'll never forsake you, Sammy. I'll never leave you. As I was going through those months of watching her die, God was there holding my hand, saying it's going to be all right. And there are times I needed that. I needed that. I needed that. God has made us a promise. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. The Bible says the God who promised is faithful. We serve a God who is faithful. God will be there. He will not abandon you. And so in the midst of a storm, you got to believe that you're going to make it through what you're going through. You got to know that you serve a God who is able to bring you through. You got to know that you serve a God who is faithful, who will not abandon you. Titus, Paul tells Titus, that's impossible, Titus 1, verse 2, for God to lie. And God says, Sammy, I'm not going to allow Satan to put on you any more than you can handle. I didn't think I could handle the storm. But I'm a testimony, and I got a story to tell. And I didn't think I could tell the story. And when I first started telling the story, I didn't realize that things happen in life, perhaps sometime for a reason. God has allowed me to tell this story. And I've gotten stronger each time I've been able to tell the story. But there's a storm with your name on it. Are you ready? Are you ready for your storm? You got to believe that you're going to make it through the storm. You got to know some things about God, that he's able, that he's faithful. Number four, you got to remain full of joy regardless of what you experience. You got to remain full of excitement about serving God. You see, Satan wants to take away your joy. Your zest to want to serve God, if he can take away your excitement, if he can take away your joy, then you're not going to come to church. You're not going to read your Bible. You're not going to pray. If he can take away your joy for living, then the world will pull you and suck you in. Satan tried to take away my joy. Satan tried to take away my passion. And he will try to take away your passion. Go to the book of Habakkuk. Go back to the book of Habakkuk. The chapter is 3. Look at verse 17 and 18. Here's Habakkuk going through some things he can't understand. He can't understand why God allowed this and why God is going to use the Babylonian. And in the midst of all this, Habakkuk paraphrases says in verse 17, although everything in my life I don't understand, I don't understand why this is going on. I don't understand why this has happened to me. And I don't understand this. Look at verse 18. Yet I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to rejoice in God. I'm going to the strength of my salvation. And that's my attitude. And Diane, along with God, has brought back a passion in me, an excitement in me. God is able. God will provide for you. We've just got to trust in God. Habakkuk says, I'm going to be excited. I'm not going to let Satan take away my joy. There are things that I don't understand. I don't know why God allowed this to happen in my life. But I'm a better man. I'm a better Christian. I'm a better husband. I'm a better person. And I haven't lost 1 ounce of passion to make heaven my home. Satan, get behind me. Satan, get behind me. And that's what some of you need to do. You're going through some things, and you don't know why you're going through it. You need to tell Satan to get behind you, because you can make it through what you're going through. Number 5, go to Mark chapter 2. Here's the 5th thing. Boy, this is a big one here. This is a good one here. It's about a man who had 4 friends. You see, he had been paralyzed. We don't know how long. Was it from birth? But here's a man who is paralyzed. When you're going through a storm, you know what really helps? Friends like Frank. Friends that sometimes they don't know what to say, but they just come over and give you a hug. Friends are just passion. Friends that have been so good to your boys, and like David. All 3 of my boys, when they were going through a storm, they thought back to the classes they had with David Powell. And I don't know what he said in the classes, but David, thank you. Sometimes we don't know. But friends, here's a man who was paralyzed. But these 4 friends heard that Jesus was preaching in the region. He had started his ministry there. And he was at a friend's house. I don't know how many miles, but one morning they get up. In my mind, I see them getting back 5:30, walking over to get their friend. Now, it's not in your Bible, but it's in mine. His name is Leroy. He's got a good Jewish name. They're going to get Leroy. I can see them up at 11 p.m. They're talking about Jesus is in the region. We've heard that he can do great things. We're going to get Leroy tomorrow. And we're going to take Leroy to Jesus. And so they arrive and knock on the door. The parents are not expecting this. They say, we're here to get Leroy. What are you taking him? We need to take him to see somebody. Leroy, wake up. And can't you see these friends carrying Leroy? And they're walking 3 to 4 miles to get their friend who's in a storm to see Jesus. And when they get there, the house is packed that they can't get in. But you know what these friends, they don't turn around. They climb on top of the house and take the roof off. And the Bible says when Jesus looked up and saw the faith of the 5 men, Leroy was healed. Now, let's go back or advance and see Leroy now walking back home. He opens the door, and his parents, for the first time, they see Leroy walking. Can't you vision in your mind the joy of these parents? All because of a friend. Thank God for friends. Amen. Thank God for friends. I wouldn't be here preaching this morning if it had not been for friends who prayed for my family, who prayed for my boys, to see them going through missing their mom. Thank God for friends. Thank God for Leroy friends. And when these parents saw that, when they saw this, can't you imagine the joy? All because some friends cared enough. Somebody that you know is going through a storm. Will you be a friend? Will you just call them up and tell them that you're praying for them? We just call them up. I'm thinking of you. You see, that's what makes life great. It's when you have friends. Solomon says in Proverbs 18:24, there's a man that sticketh closer than a brother. It's a friend. It's a friend. I challenge you to be a friend. We got time for one more. I got 2 or 3 minutes left. The lesson is yours. I want to end with this one here. Go back to Revelation chapter 12. Number 6, if you're going to make it through the storm, you got to utilize the spiritual tools that God has provided us. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 13, Satan is coming after us. But listen to what Jesus tells us in verse 14. He says, Samuel, I provided the church some spiritual tools. And when Satan comes after you, utilize your two wings. We sing often in our congregation, two wings. God has not given us one wing. You can't fly. But when Satan comes after us and we don't understand, God has given us two wings. And two wings is the ability to trust in God. That we can make it through whatever we're going through. That's one of our spiritual tools, that God will be with us and we can fly above the storm and find safety in God. God will be with us and God will empower us to make it through because he gives us spiritual tools. And one tool is that we can trust in God. And God will make a way for us. A spiritual tool is prayer. And the lesson is yours. Go to 2 Chronicles, the chapters 20. King Jehoshaphat is faced with a storm. His cousins, they're grouped together and they're coming after him. The chances of the win in this war is absolutely impossible. They're outnumbered. Verse 12, he gathers them together and he leads them in a prayer. Prayer is a powerful tool. Thank God for prayer. I wouldn't made it through my storm if it had not been for prayer. Telling God what was going on in my heart, in my life, and the confusion, and why I didn't understand why this storm was going on in my life, and especially this storm. God, we were making plans to do great work for you. Why did you allow this storm to come into my life at this time? I didn't understand it. I didn't understand it. But King Jehoshaphat led him in a prayer. And God said in verse 15, this battle, this storm is not yours. It's mine. Position yourself. You go over there and sit down, King. I got this. I'll take care of this. And you know the rest of the story. They didn't lose a man. God can bring us through a storm. God has given us ample spiritual tools that when we're going through a storm, we need to use these tools and they will help us. Satan is coming after you, maybe this year or next year. But there's a storm with your name on it. Are you ready? It either pull you closer together, the family, or a storm can rip your family apart. I beg you, prepare your family for a storm. May God bless you.